Copyright and intellectual property are only two of Dave Davis's many passions. A research analyst at the nonprofit Copyright Clearance Center, where he has worked since 1994, Davis plays oldies on his rock and roll guitar, a red hollow-body Gretsch, cultivates an active interest in medieval history, and brews his own beer. He's also hiked all of the 4,000-foot peaks in New England. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Adding to his accomplishments and distinctions, David Daniel Davis Jr. published earlier this year two long stories, or if you prefer, a pair of short novellae. The experience so far has made him not only a fully-fledged copyright holder, but also a budding pundit on indie publishing. He joins me now in CCC's Danvers, Massachusetts headquarters. Welcome to Beyond the Book, Dave.
Thanks for inviting me on, Chris.
Well, we're very happy to have you join us, Dave. We talk every day, but now we're going to share that with the world. And I really am delighted to talk to you because we've been covering self-publishing a great deal for Beyond the Book and looking at it from a number of angles. And it's great to have a self-published author here to tell us about the experience. And so far, you've published two-thirds of an anticipated trilogy of stories about a character, Dan Washaw, a skeptical neuroscientist by day and a rock and roller by night. So let's start, Dave. Give us the pitch. What happens to Dan in Last Stop, Electric Ladyland, and the follow-up tale, Pride, Joy, and Murderous Intent?
Well, I conceived of Dan as sort of a working scientist. He's skeptical by nature. He doesn't believe in things unless there's sufficient proof and evidence for them. But as it turns out in the fiction, there's more to this world than he had guessed. And there are people that are still around, even though they went to their reward. I don't know if you ever heard of the 27 Club, but it's this notion in that rock and rollers tend to die early.
They tend to die by or about their 27th birthday.
By or about their 27th birthday. So playing with that notion, I said, suppose, and the beginning of all speculative fiction is the what if, suppose they were so infused with electricity or something up on that stage that they survived and were able to make contact and deal in this world. They might still have issues that needed resolving. And so Mr. Dan, who is not expecting this and not inclined to believe it in the first place, gets a realization and then is brought into helping them solve some problems that they have involving someone getting killed.
All right. Well, it's a fun premise and gets you to play with all the things that you care about and to, you know, obviously give some pleasure for the readers as well. We'll let them find out by going and getting the book online at Amazon. And I guess that's where I want to really sort of dive into this conversation. Why go with Amazon? There are so many self-publishing services and sites out there, and I have a feeling you're a librarian by training and a researcher by trade. I bet you looked into all of them. Why did you go with Amazon? What was the process like when you decided to sign up with them?
I gave it a lot of thought, Chris, and the reason I went with Amazon, who is, you know, the big A goodness pack, as a noob, as someone that's unknown in the fictional realm, I wanted to get more distribution, get more publicity, to find a way in at no cost. I wasn't going to invest heavily in this project in terms of dollars. And so they offer that distribution. They offer that that means of getting the word out there. And when you get into the Kindle direct publishing, you're in the Kindle store. You can tag it with your keywords. You are in a larger network immediately. And so they give you a little hand-holding there. I think that's valuable when you're just starting out. On the other hand, many alternatives exist, and they're perfectly good as well.
Right. And I guess, well, that's a personal decision then. And so you wanted to have some help, maybe a little bit of support. And I guess finally, with regard to making that choice, as things turned out, did you get the support you expected? Was the process easy or difficult?
I found it easy. I found it that working where we work, I know about rights and stuff. So filling out that kind of form online was not difficult to me. I didn't have a high target for monetary reward on this. It's more for fun. And they did ask whether I wanted to put on DRM. I'm not a big DRM fan.
DRM, we should tell people, is digital rights management. So that's interesting. You know, the choice there would be to, if you will, lock down the material, and you were happy to leave things, if you will, free and open.
That's right. I didn't see any utility to DRM for in this case. I want people to read the story. If they want to buy it, that's even better.
Well, you know, you are experimenting, as so many self-published authors do, with adjusting the price levels, and it's occasionally, with regard to making it available for people, giving the works away for free. Tell us about that experience. You've done some of that. What have you done, and what did you find out?
They offer, in the Kindle Direct Publishing, they offer 5 free days per 90-day period. You can set the price. I guess you could set it as low as you want, but I set it to zero off of the 99 cents. And then my downloads went up. So I was able to, I had 120-something people download the story during the free period. And that, I think, is true for each of the two stories so far.
Right. And so typically, though, or normally, I should say, the two books are available for how much? For 99 cents?
99 cents.
All right. So you went from 99 cents to zero, and your downloads increased by how much then?
From typical? By a factor of 10.
By a factor of 10. So it really makes a difference. And I suppose as an author, this is the argument so many people make about all this. I've heard it from Mark Coker and Spashwords and many others. Obscurity is the enemy. You don't want to be obscure. You want to be well-known.
Agreed. And so you're able to get in there a little bit with other authors who are working in science fiction or fantasy or whatever genre you tag it as, people that are looking for that. And there are people that that regularly cruise the free section of the Kindle store looking for new material. Oh, weekend, I'm going to get five or six of these things. I'm going to be doing this my Saturday morning.
Right.
So if you're in there, you're going to you might get noticed. You have a better shot.
Well, we're talking right now with Dave Davis, my colleague at Copyright Clearance Center, a research analyst here, and a self-published author of two long short stories, a pair of short novellae, I like to say, which are available on Amazon under the name, author's name, David Daniel Davis Jr. And so, David Daniel Davis Jr., the Amazon offers two levels of royalty splits for authors, and I want you to explain those and why you chose to take less rather than more. What led you to that decision?
I looked carefully at it, and I gave it some thought. I decided as a budding author, as new to the game, that I wanted all the help I could get. So in exchange for taking a lower royalty cut, they're able to help with promoting your story to additional sites that they are affiliated with. They do promotional work to it in the Kindle store, so it shows up more. And they just give you tools to try and help you along. Well, and I thought that was a fair trade.
The other help you've gotten has been from a colleague, another CCC colleague. We've got a few authors lying around this office, and the one I'm thinking of is Chris Howard, who's reasonably experienced at publishing by himself, self-publishing and otherwise. Chris Howard writes science fiction and fantasy. He's the author of Seaborn, Nanoware, and Dryad. So how important was it to have a buddy like Chris when you were getting going with this process?
I think it was critically important. There's so much to learn, so much to know. When you have someone that can, even a few steps down the road ahead of you, to hold the lantern out for you. Chris said to me, "What do you mean you're not going to put a cover on it? You have to have a cover." Then Chris, being a polymath and can do so many things, he drew me a cover, and it's helpful. And he said, "Oh, by the way, you have to have this so that it looks good in thumbnail." Not something I'm going to know on my own. And so that's how you learn. You talk to people that know.
And you do some reading as well. So you got some inside information. I know there was one particular author, another self-published author, that you learned a lot from.
That's Guy Kawasaki, and you talk about his book, author, publisher, editor, ape. And I found that very helpful. And it's just a series of well laid out chapters about all the steps that are necessary to get this done and the roles that need to be accomplished. And, you know, not knowing about them doesn't make them go away. You might as well learn it because you're going to be dealing with it whether you learn it or not.
Well, I've had a chance to hear Guy Kawasaki speak about his book and about his experience, and he refers to this new world, you know, which is sometimes called self-publishing, sometimes sort of fancifully along the lines of independent film. It's called indie publishing, but he calls it artisanal publishing. And you're, as we said at the start of this, you know, a maker of your own beer. So that, I suppose you're already artisanal in that respect. What do you think of that notion, that it's artisanal? And what would that mean to you as far as publishing goes?
Well, that's very interesting. I hadn't thought of that. I think artisanal in that concept would imply that there's a great deal of care brought to it by the individual author. So I don't have an editor.
Handmade, so to speak.
Yeah. I don't have an editor that's helping me. I have to be the editor. So you get in there and you revise and you revise and you revise and you revise it again till it's as good as you can make it. And you're not, so you're not cranking out production product like slicing the salami, I think Stephen King referred to it as. You're crafting to get to the point of quality that it's as honestly as good as you can make it.
Right. Now you've also put together an accompanying website that promotes the stories, answer questions about the characters and themes. Why did you think that was necessary?
When you're crafting a world that doesn't previously exist, so this world has ghosts in it, but they're not the usual kind of ghosts. They're rock and roll ghosts, and they're fueled by electricity. They're not composed of ectoplasm. Then there's some explaining that needs to go along with that. Now, in the story, there's exposition that I hope is not tedious, but it is necessary. But if you're going to try and garner a fan base, you give them a little hand-holding. Say, this is how it works here. It's like the typical FAQ on any website.
Yeah, it sounds like a smart idea. The other thing you've done is a bit of social media. What's been successful in that regard for you?
I use LinkedIn, I use Facebook, I use Google Plus, I use Twitter, and I like each of those for their own purposes. I did pick up a number of downloads through Twitter, which is a bit of a remove. It's not so up close and personal as Facebook. But the lesson I got out of that is just use whatever's available and see what works. Don't lock in on one. Use all of them.
Right. And they're all free. So
price is right.
You don't have a lot to lose. And finally, Dave, you know, you said at the start of this, you started as a newbie, and maybe now you're an apprentice. Will you ever want to be an expert? I mean, you know, authors these days, when they're faced with this choice of to publish with the, you know, traditional publisher or to go out on their own, I hear many of them say, my gosh, you know, I've got my hands full writing. Did you find this ultimately a burden, a liberating experience? How did you feel about it? And how much more do you want to know at this point?
I did find it. I've always found it exciting to learn. So learning the game is fun, and that's the good part. I don't know that I'd want to always do this, particularly if I got into longer works. I'm thinking about a novel in this world of mine, and that would be a lot of work to flog. And so, were it to get picked up by a major publisher, I would welcome that development.
All right. Well, we welcome you at Beyond the Book anytime you've got something to talk about. Dave Davis, my colleague at Copyright Clearance Center, research analyst, and his two short novellae are called Last Stop, Electric Ladyland, and Pride, Joy, and Murderous Intent. They're available on Amazon under the name David Daniel Davis, Jr. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.